You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
All right, good morning, and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I'm your host, Brent Smith, and I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Ben Heisler. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Spring is in full swing, and there's a bunch of festivals coming up, and I'm really looking forward to everything that's coming to Atlanta.
I mean, yeah, the beginning of April is just so fantastic, as there's the Emin Park Festival, there's the Highlands Festival, the Dogwood Festival. I can't name them all. There's so many, but, the flowers are blooming, people are getting out, the Beltline's packed, it's just been great, and people are looking at real estate. People are moving. They're on the move.
Yep, it's a very exciting time of the year.
Yeah, and I think we have a great guest today who's really going to fill us in on a lot of what's going on. So we are pleased to welcome Mike Wright. He is with Harry Norman Realtors in town. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, it is our pleasure to have you. Mike, just to get us kicked off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
The real estate broker, as you mentioned, for the Harry Norman Realtors in town office, manage about 75 agents and been in the business for about 15 years.
Wow. So can you tell us about Harry Norman Realtors and what makes them so great and why you chose Harry Norman Realtors out of all the different signs that are out there?
Well, Harry Norman Realtors, first of all, is an 83-year-old company. It's Atlanta's oldest and largest residential real estate company. I think we are great because we try to stay focused on our clients. And our clients recognize that in a tradition, quite frankly, that we've had for these 83 years, and they keep coming back year after year.
Mike, I mean, what makes your office different?
Well, my office versus the other Harry Norman offices predominantly services Atlanta's historic in-town neighborhoods. So everything from Angeley Park to Inman Park to basically anything with a park on it we service, obviously including Buckhead and other areas. But our primary focus is Atlanta's historic neighborhoods.
So talking about local, it's now the end of March, but back in February we had those crazy ice storms. And what did that do for the market as it develops towards spring? I mean, did that put the brakes on? Are we still looking forward to surging into spring and a lot of home buyers being on the market?
Well, I mean, there was a slight pent-up demand that was caused by the pause. It wasn't really a lessening of the market as it was a pause during that time frame, or the two time frames, actually, of the ice. But the reality was we were still selling a lot of homes during that time frame. So the first of the year so far is starting out very good for us, and we ended on a really great year last year. So we are looking forward to a very vibrant spring selling season, which has already started. See no turning back.
Well, Mike, let's talk a little bit more about the state of the Atlanta in-town market. I mean, what neighborhoods are rising, what neighborhoods are kind of staying level, and where's the greatest demand?
Well, right now, for the most part, anything inside the perimeter north of I-20 is still hotter than can be. For us, at least, Virginia Highland is probably the hottest on the Fahrenheit scale. We just cannot get enough inventory for the number of buyers that are demanding that marketplace. But anywhere around in town, for whether it's East Atlanta to West Midtown to, once again, any of the neighbors with parks in it right now, we have far greater demand than we have homes for people to buy. So it's a good market right now.
That sounds great. What about, when we talk about the areas that have parks in the name, generally we're talking about a lot of homes that are older and a lot of homes that are larger. Can you tell us about kind of the luxury end and how the luxury homes are doing now?
Well, yeah, we are. And within those neighborhoods, yeah, indeed, a lot of them, the neighbors themselves are very old. But we've seen a tremendous resurgence this year has been buyers looking for new construction. And so that has brought developers, builders, individuals or multiple builders coming and buying older homes, tearing them down or taking them way down and building a more modern home, not necessarily modern in style, but modern as far as conveniences on the site. So we're not necessarily seeing a growth toward much larger homes, but homes with a lot more features in them. It's a big, big, big thing right now.
All right. Well, you're listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. Stick with us. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. Call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Mike Wright of Harry Norman Realtors in town.
So, Mike, before the break, you talked about how builders and developers are buying up some of the older properties and then or tearing them down or building on top of them. what kind of features are you looking at in the in-town area now that perhaps buyers might not think about as, you know, you're looking at older homes, but now there's newer construction in there too?
Well, first is basically finish level. Today's buyer is looking for a very sophisticated finish level. So it's not being able to just quickly put up a home. It is really looking to detail, and they notice the detail. Obviously, great kitchens have always been a selling feature and remain so. Technology built into the house now is a big component. So not necessarily theater rooms like we saw several years ago is what we thought of as technology, but technology running the house, so smart systems, thermostats and automatic door locks and things, ways to control your house outside your home are a big feature right now within properties. But first and foremost, I think where people are foregoing square footage for details. They want the house to function very well. It's less show and more of a livability factor.
Well, Mike, you know, before the show we were talking about the differences. A lot of the Atlanta neighborhoods, especially with the parks on the end, are very different from each other. How do you help buyers, both that maybe are familiar with the Atlanta area, but especially the ones that are coming from other areas into Atlanta, to find the right neighborhood for them?
Well, it is amazing, actually, how educated today's buyer is. And so they can go on the internet, certainly speak with their friends and such, and more often than not, they have a really good idea of where they want to be based on their lifestyle. Somebody that's looking for walkability toward restaurants and parks and such, first of all, we have a wide variety of those kind of neighborhoods, but in very short order, they get a sense for the vibe of the neighborhood, of what's right for them, based on their needs.
So I read a study recently where there are a lot of homes that are being sold that aren't even making it to the multiple listing services. How do your agents in particular kind of know what's going on, and should I call an agent? Should I call your office and get an agent now if I'm interested in an area, or should I wait to find it online, even though that seems a little counterintuitive based on these knowledges that homes aren't making it there? I mean, what's the best way if I'm a buyer that wants to buy in one of these competitive areas in town Atlanta to get started?
Well, the best way is to absolutely get aligned with a realtor as soon as possible, because there is a network of agents that obviously talk amongst themselves and neighbor when properties are coming available on a neighborhood. And so knowing that before it hits the MLS is critical, because it is not at all unusual by the time it finally hits the listing service that before 24 hours has passed, that property is under contract. So having an agent that knows the neighborhood, knows who has properties upcoming, very, very, very critical. And then, of course, from a buyer perspective, already having your ducks in a row as far as financing and you know, getting that kind of pre-work done is critical.
Well, Mike, I know that you and Harry Norman are also involved in a lot more than just working with buyers. I mean, how are you guys helping advocacy to help the markets?
Well, I mean, we have always been and remain very involved at all levels of state, local, and federal government. So we have people, myself included, that are on government affairs committees and have relationships with our legislators to make certain that we're aware of things that are impacting our community. And particularly private property rights. You know, we're not only sell homes, we're big advocates for private property rights. So we stay involved with that just as though we do everything else in our business.
So speaking of staying involved and talking about getting ducks in a row, are there other services that Harry Norman either offers or has affiliates with, so like a lending service or insurance or anything like that, so that I can kind of work with the same group so that I don't have to, you know, worry about one group handling my real estate, my realtor, and then one group handling this and that and the other?
Absolutely. We are a true one-stop shop realtor. So we have our own lending arm called Home Services Lending. We have Harry Norman Real Estate Insurance Services, and we have an alliance with Campbell & Brandon closing attorney firm for title there. So buyer could come into our operation and basically get everything they need for the most part right under one roof.
All right. Well, Mike, we're running out of time, but before we let you go, how can our listeners get in touch with your office, learn more about Harry Norman and specifically the Harry Norman InTown office, and get in touch with one of your agents?
Well, probably the easiest way to do that is to go to our website, which is harrynorman.com. And search for office, or you can search for me, and I'll hook you up with one of our fabulous professional agents.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, Ben will be back with the deal of the day, and then stick around for our next guest after that. All right. So, Ben, tell me about today's deal of the day.
Today's deal of the day is offered by the Southeast Real Estate Investments Group, and they are a new site that just went up at the start of the year, and they offer residential, commercial, and lots and lands. So it's all three types of real estate under one roof. And it's all throughout the Southeast, including Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama. And the special deal is that in order to encourage people to visit their website and explore, that they have all three types of real estate in an easy-to-search function, they're giving away $100 Target gift cards, which, I mean, you can use either in your real estate search, you can use it on stuff around the house, you can use it kids going back to school, all kinds of stuff like that. So in order to win one of these $100 Target gift cards, there's a scavenger hunt on their site. There's three questions, one to get you to look at their residential stuff, one to look at the commercial, and one to look at the lot and land so that you can explore everything they have to offer. And so once you answer these three quick questions to show off either their to-go function for their residential, their search functions for the commercial, or some of the ways that you can qualify land, whether you're looking to build a residence or looking to build somewhere for your next business or looking for hunting land or this or that or the other. After you answer those three questions, you're entered in, and then at the start of May, they're going to have a giveaway with those $100 gift cards. So it's a great way to find a new resource for your house or business or land hunt here in spring. And in addition to that, it's a great way that you could win $100.
Now, anybody can enter?
Anybody can enter. All you have to do is go to serei.net/ontarget.
All right. Well, that was Ben Heisler with your today's deal of the day. Stick with us. We'll be right back with our next segment. All right. Welcome back. Right now for our second segment, we are joined by Brian Hill with the Atlanta Dogwood Festival. Brian, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. Really excited about the festival this year and excited about you guys giving us the coverage on it.
We are really happy to have you and to be talking about such a cool event. So, Brian, just to get us kicked off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Atlanta Dogwood Festival?
Well, I've been in festivals probably longer than I need to admit, but I started over in Europe doing festivals over there and kind of stayed over England, Germany, that kind of type of thing. And then I came over, I did the Olympics in Barcelona and came here for the Olympics in Atlanta. And I was supposed to be here for that period of time, and then I was leaving, but hey, I'm still here. Okay. So I ended up working at Centennial Olympic Park as the assistant general manager there and getting involved in all the events and all the programming. And then after 10 years of that, I decided to look for something else and ended up with an offer from the Atlanta Dogwood Festival. It's been great. It's been a fabulous event, and it's so exciting to be part of something that's such a tradition in the city.
For those of us that are either new to the city or haven't been, or listeners that are listening from somewhere else and are planning on visiting around that time, can you tell us more about the Atlanta Dogwood Festival?
Well, I think the biggest thing that surprises even people that have been going for years is this is the third oldest fine arts festival in the country. It's now in its 78th year, and it's a tradition from your grandparents, your parents, you know, it'll be a tradition continuing on with kids and grandkids. And the thing is, it's transitioned over the years so much that it includes so many new things that people like to see each year, but it also keeps the old traditional that keeps people coming back. And the quality is the thing that we are most concerned with. We always make sure that we get the best artists in that are out there, the best attractions and rides, and the food that people are looking for, the funnel cakes and the corn dogs, but also the Asian noodle dishes, that type of stuff, a bit of the food trucks. So we always keep it dynamic, keep it moving, and keep things that people want to come back to see that they know from the many years as well.
Well, Brian, you tossed out a lot of stuff that's going on at the festival. Is there anything new this year that, I mean, people that have been to the festival before that they should come by and check out that might be different from prior years?
Well, we are doing something different with a special event, because sometimes people say, well, what can I do different this year? I'd want to get a new experience. So we've actually created a backyard barbecue and brews. So it's a ticketed event. Most of the events are free. The festival is free. But this is one if you want to get a little involved in trying barbecue from all over Atlanta. You want to try the craft beers, and we'll even be featuring moonshine, believe it or not. Oh, and okay. This is the legal version of moonshine. But that's one of the fun things, and it's kind of the new trend that people want to sample all the different barbecues and so forth. One of the great things about this year, we are usually the third weekend in April, but due to Easter, we've moved earlier this year, so we're April 11th through the 13th. What that has done is allowed a lot of artists that have conflicting schedules to actually apply to our event this year. So we'll see a lot of new talent out there. And these are the artists that compete around the country to be part of these festivals. We have over 1,000 applicants for the 260 slots. And this is a highly competitive, juried artist market, so you get the best of the best. We're going to see a lot of new artists and new faces. And one of the great things about being the first festival of the year, we're also first in their circuit that goes around the country. So all of the stuff they've been working on over the year, over the winter, this is some of the first time it's going to be premiered, and it's some of the first time that people have to buy it. So that's always exciting for us, and it's, you know, if you're going to come down to the festival, plan to spend a lot of time because there's so much to see and so much to do.
All right. Well, that sounds really amazing. What are some of the ways that the festival benefits the Atlanta community?
Well, we do a great thing called the Atlanta High School Art Exhibition, and it is a program that's in the school system represented by over 60 schools, and there's hundreds and hundreds of art students that compete, and this is one of the only times and one of the most professional times they get to show their art, to see what it's like to be an artist as a profession. And then also it inspires art in the schools. It gives them a goal to work towards. So in a time when a lot of the arts are being cut back, this is one of the programs that helps keep people interested in art and helps the budding artists to develop their talent and have an outreach beyond like, hey, Mom, look what I did at school. Some of the other things we do is we have an award-winning Eco Village, and that's an educational part of our festival, and it's won national attention 3 years running as the best environmental program within any festival. And that is where you could come and you can see some interactive activities, you can see crafts that are involved in environmental topics and themes, and it's not a boring sit down and read a bunch of pamphlets. You're actually getting to do some hands-on stuff and start to understand how some of the environmental impacts can be used at home and can change your day-to-day life. And we also have an international stage that we started about 5 years ago, and that too has been award-winning because it allows members of the community from all different backgrounds and cultures that normally there's a festival, maybe it's a French-American festival, maybe it's a German-American festival. But this is the one unique experience in Atlanta that all of the different communities can come together. And over the weekend, we feature over 20 countries and over 500 performers. They get the opportunity to perform in front of audiences that may not even know they exist and also have never had an exposure to that culture. And it's so dynamic, and it's so vibrant, and for people to be able to come all weekend and experience this for free, it really gives you a feel of what the Atlanta community is about. And it really lets you know that there's a lot of other people in the city that are part of it, and this is a great way to get to know them.
Yeah, I mean, this festival, it just screams Atlanta. I mean, it is. So, but we'll be right back. You're listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media. Public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program, while also creating third-party credibility. With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Brian Hill of the Atlanta Dogwood Festival.
So you were telling us more earlier about the artist market, about the backyard barbecue and brews, about the international stage, and about how all of this is free. How do you keep that free? I mean, what all is involved in running a nonprofit like this?
Well, that is always a big challenge because it's very important, you know, that it is free because it is such a fabric of the community. But we do that through an outreach with our sponsorship. We have some great sponsors on board. Coca-Cola has always been there. PNC is our presenting sponsor. Corona Light with the Corona Beer Garden. More and more names that I could go on for the rest of the show with. But without that corporate sponsorship and without them realizing that this is a very important thing to be part of this community and therefore to be part of this festival, we obviously couldn't do it. The other thing is, it's to mention like a real estate thing, all of the spaces are rented out for the artists. They pay to be here, obviously. Our vendors pay to be here. And so that's all part of it. It's really kind of a intricate web of finances to make it all happen to afford it, because what people also don't realize, it's very expensive to put on a show like this. We virtually move a town into Piedmont Park, you know, 3-4 days, and then it moved out within 2 days afterwards, and it has to service over 200,000 people. And that includes having the water, the electric, the medical support, the police and security. It is, you know, the food and beverage, it's all right there. So interesting element, but there's all different pieces and donations. When people are at this different events, the stages and that sort of thing, they can donate. They can buy tickets to the barbecue and brews. They can buy merchandise. And another thing is the we have tree saplings that we've sold year in and year out. And they can buy a tree sapling at the festival, plant it, you know, have multiple trees over the years. Oh, this is from 10 years ago when I went to the festival. This is one from 5 years back. And there's people that have multiple, and they know right when they got that tree and where it came from. And that also helps to support the festival.
That's pretty neat. Well, Brian, one of my favorite parts of the festival in years past has been the disc dog competition. Are we going to see that again this year?
Yeah, we are. It's funny. Sometimes people go, aren't you a fine arts festival? What's the disc dog? Well, it's an art, the way they catch those frisbees. Is that
it really is.
But no, it's a really beloved element of the festival. It's been with the festival for about 19 years, I believe, now. And it attracts a different element. Maybe people wouldn't come to an arts festival or a music festival alone. Maybe that they have that draw. But the disc dog is a national qualifier, so it brings some really good talent into the park for the disc dog. However, there's a little confusion because people say, oh, disc dog, let's bring our dog. But City of Atlanta, in their regulations, it's a large festival. It's an A-level festival. You cannot bring dogs to the festival. So the only way those dogs are on site is they're performers. So, you know, there's stage performers, musical performers, disc dog performers.
Professionals.
There you go. And people love it. I mean, you'll see day in and day out, people sit there and watch it and really be involved with it.
So you talked about stage performers. And I also know in Piedmont Park, there's a lot of really great concerts throughout the year. What are some of the artists that are coming to join from a musical perspective this year?
Well, we have a lot of the local talent, up-and-coming talent. We appeal to so many different audiences. We go from reggae to blues to rock to country. There's a little bit of everything mixed on the stage. We've got the main stage, which is down in the meadow, and that starts on the Friday. And we've got a contemporary rock group that's opening up. It's a touring group called Mercy Me, and they'll be there on the Friday night, the 11th. And that's got a crowd following in and of itself. And then throughout the days on Saturdays and Sundays, we've got some variety of talents to meet a variety of different tastes, obviously, because of the diversity of people that come to the festival. Our website contains all the names and links, so if you want to hear some music in advance at dogwood.org, you can go there and check out who's going to be appearing and when. On site, you can look through the stage schedules that are throughout the site, and we've got mobile apps, as technology allows these days. So pretty much you can look into the type of music you want. If there's some bands you're familiar with, check into the lineup, see when they play, and come on down to the stage.
Well, Brian, real quick before we start to wrap up, but how did the Dogwood Festival actually get started? I mean, if it's so old and it's been around for so long, what was the beginning point of it?
Well, it was started back in 1936 by Walter Rich of the Richest Department Store family. And it was a twofold thing. One is it was to bring people out of the doldrums of the Depression. You know, it's like, how do we get people excited and happy and, you know, back together to get over those bad times? And then also he looked at, what do we do to feature Atlanta? And the dogwood tree is a natural tree in the area, and he wanted to feature them similar like the cherry blossoms up in Washington, D.C. So in the tradition of that, we've continued, as I had mentioned previously, with the dogwood sapling sales to repopulate the trees around town to help the environment and help Atlanta. And when the dogwoods are in bloom, there's just nothing prettier than being in the park right there during the festival with the fine art and the music and the food and the family fun. And the dogwoods themselves, that's why it maintains the name. It was started to highlight the trees that grow in Atlanta and also give people a happy start to the spring. And I think we've been able to keep going on both of those counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. All right, so I'm totally sold on the festival now, and I'm sure our listeners are too, not that I wasn't before. What tips can you give for people that are heading down there, what to bring, what to leave at home, what to pack, where to park, things like that?
For general information, they should go on the website. We do run shuttles from MARTA, and we do encourage environmental impact and ease, basically, is to go take MARTA. You know, park your car at one of the stations and come on down, and it kind of gets you in the mood. You get onto the MARTA, you're getting off stations with everybody. There's shuttles to the festival from there. It's simple. It's easy. Come on down. There's, as I had mentioned earlier, there's no pets. There's you can't bring in outside alcohol, outside food, but we've got everything there on site. Just come on down, you know, pay attention to the weather, dress accordingly, bring some comfortable shoes because there's so much to see. Before you leave the house, make sure you put on a smile and a good attitude because you're going to have a great time when you come down. Go on the website, check out the parking. It gives you an idea of the parking spaces available, the number of spaces. Just inform yourself on dogwood.org in advance so you have a great knowledge of what you're looking for, and take a look at the map even so you know which place. You probably won't see everything in a day, so go on and see what interests you the most. If it's a kid's village, if you want to ride the midway rides that we brought in a few years ago, those rides in the meadow, that's a lot of fun. Just familiarize yourself in advance, and then you'll feel comfortable once you get there. And we've got information booths. Go up and, ask anybody that has a Dogwood volunteer shirt. If you see somebody in a board shirt, just go up and ask if you're looking for something in particular. Any questions? I mean, we're all there for the same reason, to have a great time, to show some great art, and to listen to some fabulous music.
All right. And I have to imagine the Beltline will play a role in getting people to the park also, maybe from the other side of town.
Yeah, we do. We encourage Beltline usage with the festival, and they are actually an exhibitor in our Eco Village as well, because we encourage people to take bikes. And if you look at the area towards Monroe, towards Park Tavern, we'll have a big bike corral too. So, feel free to ride your bike on, look at the corner of 10th and Monroe, and we'll have a place for them there.
All right. Well, Brian, before we let you go, can you give the website one last time for our listeners so they can be sure to know where to go to find out more about the festival?
Yes, it's simply dogwood.org.
Well, Brian, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Oh, had a good time, and thanks for having us in.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's broadcast. You can check us out by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd appreciate a customer rating and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guest, Mike Wright and Brian Hill, my co-host, Ben Hissler, I'm Brent Smith, and we'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum.